All right. Good morning. Good to see everyone here. Happy Christmas. Glad that you've chosen to spend your Christmas morning with us. As I promised, we will keep our gathering under 59 minutes today. At least that's the plan. I'm going to tell on Mel. She has set her pet cam onto her oven to watch what's cooking. So if you see her watching her phone, that's what she's doing. Oh, dear. Alrighty. If you have a Bible, turn to Philippians. Our text this morning will begin in Philippians. Hold your finger there, and if you'd like, you can turn over to 1 John 4 as well. We'll look briefly there. Philippians 2 and 1 John 4. Let's go ahead and begin our time in the Word this morning by going to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for Christmas. We thank you that you have come to be with us, to rescue us, to reconcile us to yourself. We ask now, as we celebrate by reminding ourselves of some of the basic truths about Christmas, that our hearts would be softened, that our eyes would be opened, that we would be drawn to gladness in you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would work through your word to bring us joy, and comfort, hope. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We began this series 3 weeks ago, just a very quick series over Christmas, and the text that we've come back to each week is 1 John chapter 4, and particularly verse 9. If you have your Bible open there, we'll just read it briefly. I'm going to read it in the Christian Standard Bible. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Now, we meditated over the last two Sundays over this text, and the first Sunday we focused on the love that God displayed at Christmas and the way that that necessarily, essentially, plants in our hearts a love for other people. Then last Sunday we focused briefly on the incarnation itself. God the Son became a human person. Today, as we celebrate Christmas together, I want us to focus for a few moments on those three words toward the end, into the world. The text says, God sent his only Son into the world. In the incarnation, we see God the Son taking on human flesh. But implied in that is something much more profound than his merely becoming human. Implied in Jesus' incarnation is God the Son's humiliation. So I want to take a few moments this morning to focus in on the doctrine of the humiliation of Christ. And that takes us to Philippians chapter 2. So if you have that open, we'll turn there, Philippians chapter 2. And we're just going to look at verse 5 through 8 very briefly this morning. We'll begin with verse 5. The text says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So, Paul is writing a letter to the Philippian church, and he's trying to teach them how to be humble in how they relate to each other. We saw that in verse 3 when Mel did the reading. And he wants them to relate to themselves, to each other in a humble way. And when Paul wants to help people to understand humility, he gives the example of Jesus. You want to know what it looks like to interact with people and to relate to people in a humble way? Well, look at him. Look at Jesus. And now he's going to show them some of the ways in which Jesus humbled himself. Verse 6. We'll read verse 6 and 7 together. The text says, "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Here we see two of the ways in which God the Son was humbled. The first one happened second, and that is that he was born in the likeness of men. This is what we looked at last week, simply stated. But we didn't really stop last week to notice how humbling this would be, right? He is God. He's God himself. And now he's a zygote. And then an embryo. And then a fetus. This is not God becoming a man and showing up as Superman, right? In the muscle suit. This is a humiliation. The king of the universe enters the world, and for the first 9 months, no one can even see him. We talk about his triumphal entry in contrast to his humble birth. But the truth is, the first visual evidence of Jesus on earth was a baby bump. Or possibly his mother's morning sick. It's hardly an auspicious introduction for a king. And then he's born at Christmas, and all he can do is cry. Right? That's pretty much what babies can do. There's a little more, but he still has to learn to identify his hands. Like, oh, those are mine. He hasn't done that yet. He still has to learn how to control his muscles. He's going to need his nappies changed for several years. Our text here says that he was born in the likeness of men. This is incredibly humbling for God. But the second way in which he was humbled is that he took on the form of a servant. Now, Jesus was not literally born a slave. He was a freeman. But he was born into relative poverty and obscurity, and he did systematically limit his own freedom in order to serve others. In Mark, he describes himself in this way. He says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And when we study his life, we see that systematically, again and again and again, he gives up what he wants to serve others. Paul goes on to give two more ways in which God the Son humbled himself. In verse 8, he says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The third way that God the Son was humbled is that he obeyed the Father. The text there says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient. He obeyed the Father. Jesus is no less God than the Father is. He's not outright. He's not inferior in any sense. And yet he lived his life in perfect obedience to the Father. John 8, he describes this in verse 28. He says, "I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." Verse 29, "I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Right? Jesus didn't have to humble himself in this way. He chose to. And he humbled himself in order that, I'm going to quote Romans 8, 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Jesus had to humble himself in order to keep the law for us. Because we aren't good. He had to be good for us. That's the third way in which Jesus humbled himself. And the fourth way here in the text in which God the Son was humbled is in his death. Jesus obeyed the Father, but to what extent? Well, how far was he willing to go? The text says, to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Jesus was willing to die for our sins. He had no sins of his own. He was willing to die in an agonizing and humiliating way in order to make us right with God. But his death is not the end. No, God the Son willingly humbled himself for our good. But God the Father exalted him. God the Father has already exalted God the Son, Jesus Christ, because of his willingness to be humbled. And someday, every single person who has ever walked this planet will also exalt the Son because of his humility for us. You say, Jason, how do you know? Well, look at verse 9. Verse 9 tells us the rest of the story. Therefore, because Jesus did that, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is now exalted by God, and someday he will be exalted by every single person. But it started with humiliation at Christmas. He was born in the likeness of men. He took on the form of a servant. He obeyed the Father, and he died under the curse and shame of our sin. And all of this beautifully redemptive humiliation was wrapped up in that one swaddling cloth and lying in a manger that night on the first Christmas when love came down. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you that Jesus was willing to be humbled beyond our capacity to even appreciate. That in Christmas, where we see a beautiful, serene, peaceful event, Jesus experienced humiliation, but did it because he loved us. May we grasp this morning the depth of the love that you have for us in sending your Son. May it take hold of us. May it shape our thoughts and our affections and our celebrations today. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.